Nice to be back in Leven again this evening. I suppose it's always nice to be asked to speak somewhere once, but I suppose the true test is if you actually get asked back again. So the last time I came here, I was able to share with you in a word of testimony, and it's nice to be back again this evening just to share with you in a word of the gospel. And we trust again this evening that as we present the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Saviour of sinners that each one of us will have, that joy in our soul as we hear about Christ and the work which he completed upon the cross of Calvary. I wonder could we read this evening a passage of scripture in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, a very well known chapter, and we'll read the story of Abraham offering the sacrifice of his son Isaac, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we'll commence to read this evening at verse number 1. And it came to pass that after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I will, and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold him, and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And we trust again this evening that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. A wonderful story this, a wonderful story, most likely well known to each one of us in the meeting this evening. I would like just to divide it up and to break it into four very simple sections, and to try then and to apply it as we live our lives in the County of Fife in the year 2009, because it's all very well reading the Bible, it's all very, very well understanding what the Bible says, but you know, the Bible is a wonderful book, it's the inspired word of God, and it has applications for each and every one of us in the day in which we live. And often you'll hear when you're out and about and you're speaking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps you mention to them and they say, well, the Bible, sure, that book's very outdated. Sure, what relevance would that have to us today? But you know, the Bible is completely and bang up to date, as we would say nowadays. It's bang up to date. And even the lessons of this story, which are way, way back, thousands of years ago, the lessons that we can learn from this story still apply to us here and now today. The first little thought that I have had about this particular passage is, in verse number 2, we can look and we see there that God gave an unmistakable command. God gave an unmistakable command. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You know, God gave Abraham a very direct command. In verse number 9, then, if we look further down a wee bit, then we will see that Isaac, as he was bound on the altar, as he was with his father, you know, there we have an inevitable consequence. Things at that stage did not look good for Isaac. He was bound, he was on that altar, his father had taken a knife, he was about to slay him. And you know, it seemed that things then were very inevitable for young Isaac. And then if we turn over and look at verse number 13, well then we see the ram, and the wonderful ram that was caught in the thicket by its horns, and there we have, I would suggest to you, we have an unblemished substitute. We have an unblemished substitute. And then in verse number 14, Abraham was able to name that place Jehovah Jireh. And there we have the unquestionable sufficiency of the ram that was caught. They have the unquestionable sufficiency of the ram and what it was able to provide as a sacrifice for Isaac. Back to the unmistakable command. You know, God had commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son. Abraham was a man of God. Abraham was a man who loved God. Abraham was a man who had followed what God had said. And it says in verse number 1 that God did tempt, or God did try Abraham and told him to take a son. You have to remember that Isaac was the son of his old age. If we look back to chapter number 21 and read the first few verses there, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time when God had spoken to him." Well, at the time that Isaac was born, Abraham was over 100 years old. Isaac was a very special son to Abraham. And here we have God who basically laid down a command and said to Abraham, take Isaac, thine only Isaac, and you must offer him for a sacrifice. You know, Isaac, if we look at Abraham and he was given the command, well, if we look at Isaac, he was given the sentence. Isn't that right? There wasn't much hope for Isaac. You know, he was told what to do by God. And you know, if we can apply that in the year 2009 here in Leven tonight, on this Lord's Day evening, you know, what could we say? Well, God has given us many commands from Scripture. God has set out in his word many, many commands that we must obey and we must follow. You know, with God, things are not, I suppose you could say today, there are no grey areas. Very often things are set out and they're absolutely 100% clear. And that's the way it was. Isaac was told to sacrifice his son. It wasn't that he was given an option. Well, if he tried one thing, he could sacrifice him this way. Or perhaps if he did something else and he worked a wee bit harder himself, you know, well then he could sacrifice something else in the stead of his son. No, God had laid it down that there was a command that he was to sacrifice his son. You know, why was it to sacrifice his son? But all sacrifices in the Old Testament were to be sacrificed for sin. It was because of sin that sacrifices had come in. If there was no sin, there would have never have needed to be a sacrifice. Now we must make it very clear that the sacrifice of any animal, the sacrifice even of Isaac, the sacrifice of anything in the Old Testament, it did not take away a sin. It was all with a view as it looked forward to the time when that great and supreme sacrifice, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, would come into the world and go to the cross of Calvary. But you know, there were sacrifices that were offered on altars on behalf of sin. And poor Isaac, he was condemned. You know, he was laid down and he was that one that was to be taken and was to be offered. As we said before, what's the lesson we can learn from that command that God gave? You know, it's a very simple command in Scripture. Let's think about it for a few minutes tonight. It's in Romans chapter number 3. And verse number 23, I'm sure a verse here that even the youngest in the meeting tonight perhaps would know. And it very simply states that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's very simple. You could also say that in that verse there's absolutely no grey areas. It's very, very clear. It's very, very simple. You take the verse to mean exactly what it says. Just as God had said to Isaac, or to Abraham, sorry, take thy son, thine only Isaac, and offer him up on the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering in one of the mountains which I will tell thee. That's clearer than anything. Well, this command that we can present to you tonight, not a particularly nice command. It's clear, it's concise, it's absolute and to the point. And what does it say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's an indictment not only for the people of Leven tonight, not only for the people who sit in this gospel hall, not only for people who meet in gospel halls up and down the length of Scotland, that's for everyone in the world tonight. Every single person, with the exception of our blessed Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that has been born into this world, has been born in sin, has been born in a condition which is completely contrary to the mind and will of God. That's not a thing that people like to accept easily tonight. You know, if you tell people that they're sinners, they get very offended, and they think that perhaps they're better than their neighbours, and I'm sure that they could point out sinners to you. If you spoke to anyone, they could point out to people who they would think are slightly less, that are slightly less good than they are. Well, can I tell you tonight, from the Word of God, just as God commanded Abraham, God commands us, and God tells us in His Word, there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll further on down the passage in verse number 9, our second little thought tonight. You know, we have an inevitable consequence of that action. Isaac was to be taken, although he didn't know it. He was heading on a path, he headed away with his father, and he was, as for all intents and purposes, in the last few days of his life. His father knew that sentence had been passed. His father knew that the way his son was, he was taking him to his death. Again, can we learn another very valuable lesson in the gospel meeting tonight? Each one of us, as we are born, as we grow up, sentence has been passed. As the verse we've already quoted, and can I make absolutely no apology for quoting it over and over and over and over again tonight, all have sinned. The sentence has been passed from above. You know, we are sinners. We are sinners in the sight of God. And we come and we are condemned already. And Isaac, as he made his way, you know, as you could imagine, Abraham, as he got the young ass ready and the two men, and they got the fire and the wood and they got the knife, and he took Isaac with him. And he knew, and I'm sure he looked at Isaac, and it must have broke his heart. He must have wondered what on earth was going on. Here was a son who he had wanted for many, many years. His wife had managed to bear a son in their old age, and here he had grew up to be a fair young man. And what has God said? He shall die. Each and every one of us, we are condemned to death. That is the inevitable consequence of sin. If there was no sin in the world, there would be absolutely no death. You know, way back in Eden's garden, when the Lord God formed the garden, when he formed all the animals, when he formed man with the dust of the ground, there was no sin. God used to be able to come down and commune with Adam in the cool of the day. He used to be able to speak to him, and you know, he was communing friend with friend. But we all know, don't we, tonight, the story of how sin entered into the world, how that serpent, who was more subtle than any beast in the field, how he came in, how he deceived Eve, how she deceived her husband. They took of the fruit that they were forbidden to take it off, and you know, sin entered into the world. And what does the book of Romans say? And death by sin. The inevitable consequence of our actions, the inevitable consequence of the actions of one man and woman away, way back at the beginning of time, is that we are sentenced to death. You know, that is something that is absolutely indisputable. You know, every single person that has been born into this world up to this point has died. And even if you went out into the streets of the town tonight and spoke to people, there's one thing they categorically cannot deny, that there is death in the world, that everyone must go by the way of death. And you know, this poor man, this poor young man, Isaac, he knew nothing of his fate. He didn't know that he was being taken to be offered up as a sacrifice. He didn't know that in 3 days' time he would be taken and he would be slain by the hand of his father. And you know, even tonight in this meeting, we know not the day of our death. Perhaps you're younger in the meeting tonight, Grant, and you know, you think you've got a world that lies right out in front of you. You've got many, many years, and you know there's a world that is just enticing you. Well, you know, we know not the time of our death. You know, even those who are older in the meeting tonight, we know not what a day may bring forth. There was a man in the Gospel according to Luke, a rich man. He was a farmer, and you know, as he brought in his harvest, God had blessed him, he brought in a great harvest. And what did he say? He said he was going to pull down his barns and build greater. And you know, he made no preparation for God. Everything that he did was for himself and for his work. And you know, what did God say to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So if we have an unmistakable command from God which says all have sinned, we have an inevitable consequence of that sin, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Let's remember tonight, if you forget everything else I say in this gospel meeting, remember that all have sinned, and if you have sinned, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You might say to yourself, well, you haven't brought us much good news in the gospel meeting tonight. We understood that the gospel was a gospel of good news. Well, isn't it great that we can come to the point where the substitute, the unblemished substitute, was to be provided. You know, Isaac and Abraham, his father, if we look back on the story a wee bit, in verse number 6, Abraham, they took the wood and he laid it upon Isaac. He left the two men there at the bottom of the mountain. He left the ass there and he took his son up into the mountain. And you know, Isaac even asked the question, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And you know, Isaac still didn't know at this stage that he was to be sacrificed. And as they went up and they went to the top of the mountain, and you know, he built the altar. Abraham would have built the altar with the stones. And you know, I'm sure it was going through his head, well, God has asked me to do this, I must follow the command of what God has instructed me to do. But I'm sure there was sorrow. There was much mourning in his heart as he thought, here is my well-beloved son. This one that I longed for so many years, and now I have to sacrifice him in the sight of God. And he bound Isaac. He bound Isaac and put him on the altar. And you know, he was about to take that knife, and he had the knife raised to plunge it into the heart of his son, to offer him as a sacrifice. And just at that moment, the angel was able to say, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, do not do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou would not withhold thy son, thine only Isaac, from me. And what was there? You know, it says in verse number 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked around, and behold, behind him, a ram was caught in the thicket by his horns. The unblemished substitute. I'm sure we've all heard before that the ram was caught in the thicket. The thicket simply means it was caught in a bunch of thorns or briars, or in a place where it couldn't get free. It was caught by the horns. It was that one that was unblemished. And you know, as Isaac was on that altar, he could see, I'm sure, as his father moved away, and if his father walked over to the ram, he would have realized, and it would have dawned in upon his heart, here is one who is going to take my place on this altar. What is a substitute? Well, we all know that a substitute is one who acts on behalf or takes the place of someone else. Can I tell you tonight what the gospel message is all about? Let me tell you for the next few minutes about one who became our substitute. He became my substitute. One night in December 1994, I realized he had died on the cross of Calvary for me. We're speaking tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that one who at the appointed time came into this world and was born in Bethlehem at that manger. He was born in that outside place. That one who was equal with God, who he took upon himself the form of a man, became, as the Bible says, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And you know that the Bible also says that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. You know, isn't it wonderful tonight that we come to this gospel meeting and we don't have to tell you about a myth. We don't have to tell you about a legend. We don't have to tell you even just from a story or an account. We come, and with all the authority of the inspired Word of God, we can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ was born here. We can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up on the shores of Galilee. We can tell you that he acted in the full will, and he acted in accordance with what his Father God wanted. And you know, he was a wonderful man. He was the fairest among 10,000. And you know, as he did good to those that were round about him, you know, it must have been absolutely wonderful to see the Lord Jesus Christ at work. Many, many people saw him. Many, many people saw the good deeds that he did. Many, many people saw him heal sick people. Many, many people saw him be able to make the lame to walk again, to even raise the dead back to life again. But you know, that could not atone for one sin. That could not atone for one single sin committed by one person on earth. It took him to go to that cross. It took him to be nailed by the hands and by the feet. It took him to be suspended between heaven and earth. And you know, he died on that cross. He voluntarily gave up his life. He suffered at the hands of man. We all know that they drove those thorns into his head. They cut up the crown of thorns and put it into his head. You know, they made him wear that purple robe of mockery, but that did not atone for sin. You know, we know that on those 3 hours of darkness, God did made upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, as Isaac would look across and see that ram, and the realization would dawn upon his heart that that ram was going to take the place of him. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ could cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." At that moment in time, the work was completed. The work of salvation was finished forever. And just as that ram could take Isaac's place, as the Lord Jesus Christ was put in that tomb, and on the third day when he arose again and went back to be with his Father, he was in the place to be a substitute for every guilty sinner in the world. Every single sinner in Scotland tonight, every single sinner in the British Isles, every single sinner right throughout the broad acres of earth, every single one who has ever been born. You know, isn't it wonderful to think that the sins that we commit, it's not as if when we accept Christ as Saviour, that somehow they're swept under the carpet and perhaps that God will just forget about them. You know, it says that his sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The sin question has been absolutely dealt with. They can never be brought back again once you trust Christ as your own and personal Saviour. You know, we come tonight to this gospel meeting. We don't present to you some mere prophet. We don't present to you some man who is dead. Hallelujah, my Saviour, he arose. On the third and appointed day, and well can we sing with the hymn writer, "Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, forever, with his saints to reign." You know, we cannot present anyone better to you tonight. And if I can say it reverently tonight, God could not have provided anything better. He gave the absolute best that heaven has. Who for? Look around this hall tonight. For guilty, hell-deserving sinners. None of us any better than any of the rest. You know, as God looks down, man looks on the outward appearance. Can I tell you tonight, God looks on the heart. And perhaps you can put on a big facade. Perhaps you can go about and you're well-dressed and you think you're better than everyone else. Well, can I tell you, as we stressed right at the beginning of the meeting tonight, our verse doesn't say, "For some have sinned and some have sinned more than others." Absolutely not. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The fact that you're short of the glory of God doesn't matter if you're short by a wee bit or short by a big bit. The gulf is so wide. The gulf is so exceptionally large. It doesn't matter to God. We're all short. We're all short. But praise God tonight. He has given that unblemished sacrifice. He has given his Son, the one who has died. And he has given his Son, the one who has rose again. And the one who lives. And the one who can give out eternal life. The one who can save you from your sin tonight. The one who can make you fit. And not only not to go to hell, but to make you fit to be in the presence of Christ. And make you fit to be in the presence of the Lord. Not only for time, not only for a period of time, but for an ever-ending eternity. For those of us who are saved in the meeting tonight, what a wonderful prospect. And even as we can think back, and we can think of times we have failed God, we can think times when we have let him down, we have grown cold in spirit, cold in heart. Hallelujah and praise God tonight. We will be with him. We will be like him. And not only for time, as I've already said before, not only for a period of time, even if that was 1,000,000 years, but you know, it will be forever and forever and forever. Our fourth little point tonight, the unquestionable sufficiency of Christ. I think we've already touched on it. You know, Christ has died. He was the only one who could have died. He was the only one. And you think of the power of God. When you think of the power, even as the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as those soldiers came to try and arrest him, and even with the word of his mouth, he could make them all fall down. But you know, as he hung upon the cross, he was the only one. He was that one and that only sacrifice that could suffer and die for sin. What a joy it is tonight. As I look around my audience, I recognise that most of us are on the way to heaven. I recognise tonight that perhaps you have been on the road for many, many years. And you know, the Lord has never failed any of us. The Lord will never fail us. You know, as we read through his word, and he grows an appreciation in our hearts. What a wonder it is that he died for us. Let's just think about that tonight for a moment as we are nearing the end of this gospel meeting. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died for us. I think I said from this very platform before, the night I realised that I was a sinner, the night that I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it appeared to me that if I was the only sinner that had only ever committed one sin in my life, he would still have had to come and die for me. And what a joy it is to know that God looked down upon men, women, and boys and girls, those who had failed him so miserably, those who had let him down, those who had just done everything against his will, and he was still willing, he was still able to send his son, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The unquestionable sufficiency, you know, Abraham was able to name the place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. And that's what we bring to you tonight, a message of life, a message of hope, a message of provision. And it's up to you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. If you don't, and we all have a free will, if you decide that you will put it off and you will neglect it, and you won't imagine the situation would have been if on the top of the mountain, you know, where Abraham and Isaac were there, and Isaac was on top of the altar. Abraham was there with the knife, and the ram was in the thicket caught by the horns. And Abraham would say, it's okay, you're saved. Get off the altar. There's a ram that's going to be your substitute, that's going to take your place. If Isaac had said, well, no, I'll just stay here for a wee while longer. You know, perhaps tonight it's not just the right time for me. I'll just stay on here for a bit longer. You know, that very night was God's time. God said that the substitute was there just now. Isaac had to get off the altar and the substitute had to go on and be sacrificed. Can I tell you tonight, what does the Bible say? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm not sure how long the testimony has been here in Leven. But for every Lord's Day evening, for many, 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 many years, the gospel has gone forth from this place. The gospel has been faithfully preached by men most likely more able than I am. But you know, some night, it will be preached for the very last time. We do not know when that will be. It could be tonight. Praise God for those of us who are saved. If the Lord was to come back tonight, we would all be taken to be with himself forever. There will be no meetings preached here next week. There will be no meeting next Lord's Day evening, but you know, tonight you still have an opportunity. If you have never accepted Christ as your Saviour, if you have never accepted him, well, tonight, as we quote it again just at the end of this gospel meeting, behold now is the day of, behold now is the accepted time, behold now is the day of salvation. So I hope tonight that we have learnt some lessons from this wonderful story. In the book of Genesis in chapter 23, we'll all remember that there was an unmistakable command that Isaac was to take his son and go and to sacrifice him. The application today is for all have sinned. Then there was an inevitable consequence, and that Isaac was put on the altar. He was bound by his father, and he was put on the altar, and the knife was raised to slay him. But you know, there was that unblemished substitute. Praise God, the one who was caught in the thicket by the horns, that one who was not marked, that one who was perfect, that ram who was there to be sacrificed. And no, there was unquestionable sufficiency. It's for the whosoever tonight. The word of Christ is enough and is able to save everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father, again this evening, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy holy presence at the end of this gospel meeting. We thank thee again for the message that has been gone forth. We pray again that that anything that has been of man will be removed, and that the words that have been spoken can be taken by the Spirit of God and used perhaps tonight to perhaps even encourage someone, and or perhaps convict someone of their sin. And we pray again that at the end of this gospel meeting, that each and every one of us that have been here this evening will be blessed for our time together. We thank you again for the reverent attention that has been given, and we pray again that thy word will not return unto thee void. So part us now with thy blessing, and take each of us to our homes in safety this evening, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if we take time, please, and sing a couple of verses of a hymn. A very well-known gospel hymn. It's hymn number 292. Hymn number 292, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come." We'll sing verses 1, 2 and 4, just remaining seated, of hymn number 292, and then the meeting is completely over.